I love that tune. All right. We're going to be in 1 John today, so if you would turn there. We are in a series, the broader series, in the book of Genesis called Genesis Foundations. As we understand the Word of God, God revealed the Word progressively. He didn't tell everybody everything all at once. It happened over time. In fact, Abraham, for instance, was saved by believing in the promises of God without ever knowing the name Jesus, for example. There would be someone coming, and he knew that in his seed all the nations of the earth would be blessed, but he didn't know to what detail. But we believe that the Bible is built upon the concept of the Word of God right in Genesis. If you do not understand Genesis 1, 2, and 3 and take it as God intended, as a literal understanding rather than some kind of mythical statement or allegory, then you can't really understand the rest of Scripture. And even though we're just kind of working our way along slowly in Genesis, there's so many concepts that are brought up in the book of Genesis that God builds upon through the rest of Scripture. And we'll see that as we progress through Genesis. But the first huge concept that we find in the book of Genesis is about light. God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And He separated the night from the day, and He called the light day, and the evening He called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And the concept of light and darkness is built on in every way throughout Scripture. Pastor Sean talked about that a couple weeks ago from Ephesians 5. You were sometimes darkness, now are you light. Walk as children of light. Those are creative terms. Those are creation terms. And they are fully filled up with that idea. And you don't understand that statement, those comparisons, without understanding where they come from in the book of Genesis. We're going to look at another passage that is a practical application of Genesis 1-3 with God being light, and how it relates to us today. If you would, turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1. There's 10 verses there. We're going to read the entire chapter together, and then we're going to read the first two verses of the next chapter. And then we're going to just talk about this a little bit. We're certainly not going to cover every detail. 1 John, I don't think it's my favorite book anymore, but it was the first book I ever preached through in my pastor years and years ago. I think it was 1988 or something I started. Ted, were you alive then? Yeah, okay. You graduated in 88 from kindergarten? Okay. Well, I'm glad they got you out of there. So, but anyway, I preached through the five chapters of 1 John, and I wanted to start all over because there's so much, and the more you preach on it, the more you see. It's also the book that most people, when they're learning Greek, are exposed to. John and 1 John. John uses the least complicated Greek. So, but anyway, if you're in 1 John, let's just read together out loud all of chapter 1. There's 10 verses, and then the first two verses of chapter 2, okay? So let's read it out loud together. And it's also at the top of your notes. If you're holding a baby or something, it's quick and easy to get it there as well. It's all there at the top of your notes. So, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life, the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Let's again pray. Father, help us as we look into Your Word, to study it and understand it as You intended. Lord, what a beautiful passage that helps us understand how we, as those that are plagued with sinful bodies and sinful natures yet, can still walk with You, a God in whom is light and is no darkness at all. Thank You for Your great love toward us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's hard to preach out of a passage, just jumping in and then jumping out. Does anyone have notes? Okay. So we're going to just do a quick, it's not even an overview, because I'm not going to truly give an outline, but it'll give some highlights, okay? So God in 1 John is presented in three different ways, and I'm just going to kind of quickly list those for you. The first one He's presented as is God is life, L-I-F-E. As you read the first couple of verses, it talks about concerning the word of life. And in my Bible, the word, or it's the Greek word logos, is capitalized, and it seems to emphasize that. But as you read verse 2, it's actually emphasizing the word life. The word we get zoology from it, zoe, from the Greek. It talks about the life, the word of life, and literally the word, the life. And then verse 2 says, the life was manifested. It's not talking about the word here, it's talking about the life was manifested. And it goes on to say, that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. So there's an eternal life. God has revealed as that life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus said in John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. That's kind of what the emphasis is here. So God has indicated it as being life here, as Jesus Christ. And then God is light, L-I-G-H-T, and that's what we're going to talk about today. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. We're going to discuss what that means, and then we're going to discuss what that means to us today. And then, thirdly, two verses in 1 John indicate that God is also love. If I had time, I would explain that the converse is not true. God is love, but love is not God. Okay, they are not equal terms. Each one is a characteristic. Life, light, love. God is also holy. I believe that's part of light. We'll mention a little bit. But they cannot be reversed. Love is not God. God is love. Love is a description of God and one of His characteristics, but does not encompass all that God is, for example. So God is life, God is light, and God is love. And that's kind of an overview of 1 John in a sense. John gives at least four reasons. You could probably mine 34 reasons or so out of 1 John as to why he wrote it. A lot of people approach 1 John backwards, and I simply don't understand it, why they say this. They say that 1 John is all these evidences of whether or not you've been born again, whether you're saved or not. And I don't know why they say that. They jump to 1 John 5:13, which is the fourth reason here, and I'll give it to you first, to affirm eternal life based upon belief in God's Son. Now that's true. 1 John talks about that you may know that you have eternal life. But that is not, that purpose statement is found in chapter 5 at the end of the letter, not at the beginning. That's not the all-encompassing purpose. It's one of the purposes. But a lot of people will go through and say, well, you're saved if you know you're saved if you do this and this and this and this. And it's kind of a checklist to know that you're saved. No, you're saved based upon the promises of God, not because of any affirming behavior. People can be good on the outside. Remember, Jesus said about the Pharisees, they're like whited sepulchers. And the disciples said, well, who then can be saved? These guys are the righteous ones. Okay, so behavior authenticates your walk. It does not authenticate your position because you're not saved by your behavior and you're not affirmed by your behavior. Maturity is indicated by your behavior. We won't get into that much today, but if you want to look at verses 3 through 6 of chapter 2, it goes into that in more detail. But John gives at least four key reasons, and he states them this way. The first one is found in verse 3. It says, that you also may have fellowship with us. So to have ongoing fellowship with God and one another. And that's, as you read these, you say, well, people can't have ongoing fellowship with God unless they're already saved. So this is not a checklist of whether or not you're saved. It's a book written so that you can have fellowship with God as a believer. And then I'll give the next reason as well that John stated. Verse 4 says, in these things we write to you that your joy may be full or be made complete or filled up. He wouldn't say that to an unsaved person. John is assuming that these people are already saved. He wrote the Gospel of John so that people might believe. He wrote 1 John so that people might fully enjoy their relationship with God, ultimately. So the first reason is to have ongoing fellowship with God and one another. The second is to have full or complete joy. The third reason is found in chapter 2, verse 1. It says, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Okay, again, you would not write that to an unsaved person. Because an unsaved person can't keep from sinning, can they? They have nothing that prevents them. The Holy Spirit does not live within them to give them the ability to overcome sin. They don't have the enlightenment. The Bible talks about they walk in darkness and they stumble. They don't know where they're going because they don't have the light. They don't even understand the concept of sin fully. So that we might not sin is the third reason, and to remind us of our advocate when we do. And we'll talk about that more when we get toward the end of the message. So God is life, God is light, God is love, and four reasons, and you can list many more, but these are explicitly stated reasons. To have ongoing fellowship with God and one another, to have full or complete joy. In other words, to enjoy that salvation that God has given us, that we might not sin, and to remind us of our advocate when we do sin, and to affirm eternal life based upon belief in God's Word. I believe the concept of salvation, affirming, is you can't have full joy unless you're affirmed in your salvation. If you're constantly wrestling with whether or not you're saved or not, and on what basis, you can't get beyond that in your spirituality. Spiritual maturity begins with the right understanding of salvation by belief alone in the Son of God's Son, Jesus Christ. And that's what 1 John 5:13 says. Now, God, light in every believer. We're in the next section of your notes here. We'll start off with the verse here, verse 5 of chapter 1. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Those are creation terms, light and darkness. Remember, darkness was over the face of the deep, Genesis 1:2. And God said, let there be light. Darkness is the absence of light. It's the absence of energy. It's the absence of God's involvement. Okay? Two truths about God, and these are easy to see. I don't think I put any blanks in this section because I wanted you to just get it nailed down. Truth number one, God is light. What does it mean that God is light? By the way, again, the converse is not true. Light is not God. Knowledge itself is not God, if you will. You know, revelation itself is not God. God is a person, not a thing. He's a person, not a feeling or an emotion. Okay, God is light. Now, I've listed two things here. Light has two parts to it. And we've talked about this before. I try to list it in different ways. We reviewed it, in fact, with the kids on Wednesday nights in a kind of a neat way. But light gives us information, and light gives us guidance, if you will. It tells us what is right and tells us how to live. What is true and what is moral, if you will. And I've given different terms here. Light is right knowledge, in part. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:13 that light is what manifests or reveals something. So light shows us the way. In the Old Testament, it talks about your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It reveals where we're walking and how to react to that. Okay, it's right knowledge. It tells you what is true, that there's only one true God. It's revelation. It's information. Other words, light is informational. It tells you what is gives you information. It's light is accuracy. It's accurate information. There's all kinds of information in this world that is not true information. You ever heard of the internet? The thing that Al Gore invented? Okay. I don't think so either, but accurate information, okay? It's not just information. You can prove anything from the internet, and if you're good, you can prove anything from the Bible, as long as you twist and bend it the way you want, okay? But light gives accurate information. Have you ever felt that you were all put together, and then you stood in front of a mirror and found out that you had, boing, you know, something sticking up or was wrong? You know, ladies, maybe it's something out of place makeup-wise, and I've already said more than I know about makeup, right, in that sentence. But maybe, you know, guys, hair sticking up? Or, you find out you missed a belt loop? Or worse, and you walk around all day that way? Okay? The Word of God is a mirror. It tells you what is true about yourself. Okay? It's accurate information. Another way to say light is truthfulness. Light is truthfulness, the opposite of falsehood. It is truthfulness. It's also another way to say it is to know what is right. We taught the kids a little chorus we made up, and they sang it last Sunday. You know, God, having no darkness, God is light. God's light shows us what is, kids help me, right. Yeah. It shows us what is right. Everything about the Word of God assumes that there is right and wrong. There is truth and falsehood. And in our day, in churches today, everyone is so ambiguous that, well, that's your view. And it's like, well, God didn't give you a Bible that couldn't be understood. We may be right or wrong about our interpretation, but it's there to be learned. It's not there to be just studied and left in a cloud somewhere and not acted upon or to be left unknown. So light is right knowledge. Light is also right living. Okay? It's moral. Light is not just information. You know, information could be like, God made the world. Okay? That's light from the Word of God. But guess what? The morality of God made the world is that God made you and owns you. And therefore, you are accountable to Him. There's morality that comes in with everything that is revealed about God. Just like any doctrine. I've shared when I was at school a long time ago now. I think I just graduated college, but my kids don't think so. I don't think time goes so fast. But I remember sitting by a guy in doctrine class, a good friend of mine, and he's super masterful in printing and all. He ran the school print shop kind of single-handedly, just an amazing guy. But he didn't do bookwork well, and I'm the other way around. I can give you the right answer, but I can't print it all. it won't look good when I print it kind of thing. But he was upset because he got a bad grade in doctrine. He just got our test back, and he was rightfully bummed out. He wanted to do well in class, and he finally said, it doesn't matter. If anyone has a question, I'll look it up. And I looked over at my friend, and I said his name, and I said, buddy, every truth of God has application. It isn't answers to a test. God's truth is not meant to be an answer to a test. Everything has application and implication. Okay? In every way. And so that's what we're talking about too. Truth, God tells us what is true. He made the world or whatever the case, He designed marriage, and therefore there is such a thing as fornication, there is such a thing as adultery, and He can define that. We don't define it, we only understand it. Okay? So there's morality in light. Another way to look at light is purity in the same vein of living rightly. It's purity. Light is purity. There's a claim on us for purity. Another word to use, a synonym, is holiness. Light is holiness there, and I just have them listed there. And also another way to say it is to do what is right. So light is to know what is right and to do what is right. That is what light is. God is that. He's completely omniscient. He knows everything. And He's completely holy. There's nothing devious about Him. There's nothing sinister about Him. There's nothing unholy about Him. And that's what the Bible goes on to say. In Him is no darkness at all. At all. It emphasizes that. In fact, the word there, I put it in, it comes from two words. Okay? And I'll teach them. It's O-U, and there's a D in there because it needs a consonant. O-U-D-M-I-A is what that Greek word is there that I listed. It's eudaimia, okay? Which means nothing at the moment. But mia is one. Okay, just the word one. U is not. So it's saying God is light and in Him is no darkness, not one bit. Not even one trace, not one element, not one instance. He is completely darkness-free, and He's totally light in every way as far as information and morality in every way as far as accuracy and holiness. In Him is no darkness at all. And that kind of at all is that not even once. And in the same vein, if light is right knowledge and light is right living, then we can say the converse is true about God. God has absolutely no wrong knowledge. There's not something He knows that's not true. Okay? He's got it all right. God has absolutely no wrong knowledge, no ignorance, no inaccuracy, no falsehood, no incorrect understanding. By the way, that's not a bad person to get to know. Because none of us fit in that category. And that's why we encourage you over and over to be in the Word of God every day. Because in Him is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. I don't care what book, I don't care what author, I don't care what pastor. Every man, every writer, every author, I guess that would be a writer, okay, cannot see everything clearly and does not understand everything clearly. So as far as informationally, God has absolutely no wrong knowledge, no ignorance, no inaccuracy, no falsehood, no incorrect understanding. That's His omniscience. Then God has absolutely no sin and sinfulness in character, in attitude, or action. God never commits sin, never considers committing sin, never would violate His holy character. He's completely holy. So I've given a summary statement there about 1 John 1:5. God knows everything fully and completely with complete holiness, it should say, and with the rejection of all sinfulness. That is God. God is light. He knows everything and He's completely pure and holy. Okay? So that's a statement about God, and it's huge because no one else can fit into that category. The devil presents himself as an angel of light. He likes to make falsehood look correct. And most people, when they follow falsehood, don't think they're following something wrong or they wouldn't follow it, right? How many here are old enough to remember French Guyana and Jim Jones and Kool-Aid? Anyone think, a bunch of people, like 300 people, followed this false Christian cult leader named Jim Jones. And toward the end, when authorities were kind of approaching him, he encouraged them and instructed them to drink Kool-Aid poison. And most of them did that. Do you think they thought they were doing it wrong? Something wrong? I don't think so. I think they thought they were doing right. Even in the book of Judges, people did what was right in their own eyes. See, understand, it's not that you're convinced that you're right. Everybody's convinced that they're right. The issue is, are you right based upon what God says is right? Amen? Isn't that the issue? It's not that you're convinced that you're right or that I'm convinced that I'm right. It's that I'm understanding what God says is right. That's where the rubber meets the road. How do we fellowship then with a God, with God who is light? We are to walk in the light. That's what the Bible says. It commands us to be walking in the light. Oh, good, that helps me. Not, I don't know what that means, right? We used an object lesson this past week for the kids because we follow up with Sunday lessons a lot on Wednesdays for the kids to reinforce them. But we took them into darkness. Where did we go, kids? We went to the basement, yeah. Was it dark? Was it real dark? We took them started with the furnace room downstairs, which is one of the darker places you can be. And then we call it the junk room. It's not the junk room anymore, but you know where I'm talking about, right down in here. It's just pitch black. You can't, if you went like this, you can't see your hand. Now, we brought along our own lights. And we showed the kids different things about following the light. See what the light helps you to see and know where to go and what to do and how to avoid obstacles and all of that. That's exactly what it means to walk in the light, only the light is not a flashlight or five or six flashlights. It's the Word of God. That's exactly what the Word of God does. It shows us, oh, there's truth. There's three steps. That's truth. And there's also how to walk down the steps. The light reveals both. The light shows you how big the room is. Light reveals, we had some of the youth leaders walk down to the end of the fellowship hall in the dark, and they said, okay, kids, walk to them. Now, they could see a little bit of light from those windows in the basement, just an ebb, so that, oh, this isn't too bad. But then I said, okay, turn around and walk to me with that light. And they couldn't see a thing because there's no windows behind me. They didn't even know where I was going. I turned my light on and shut it off and moved somewhere else. They had no idea where I was at until I turned the light on. That's exactly the essential nature of the Word of God. Now, how do we walk with God in this way? I give you three parts, or they're not steps because they're ongoing responsibilities. So let's just call them that, three responsibilities. Okay? Number one, how do we walk with God? By measuring our walk. How do you pronounce walk? We won't get into that discussion. We have arguments at home about how to say C-A-U-L-K and W-A-L-K. It's not something you cook Chinese in, people. It has an L in it, right? I pronounce the L. Other people insist you don't. But anyway, however you pronounce crick or creek, walk, I say, by measuring our walk, not our wishful words. We have to evaluate not what we say, but what we do. Actions, not intentions, are your other blanks there. Actions, not intentions. We cannot evaluate ourselves based upon what we want to do, but do not do. God gives us a very clear measure in which to be able to evaluate our own spiritual maturity, our spiritual walk, whether we are in the light or not, okay? Verse 6, and it's right below that point there, by the way. I put it in there. It says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, and walk in darkness, what does it say? We lie and do not practice the truth. Now, I want you to just put up your antenna as we go through these, but the Bible talks about darkness. It talks about sin kind of interchangeably here. So understand that. There's a morality and an ignorance. Darkness and ignorance. It doesn't use the term ignorance, but it talks about darkness and not being able to know where we're going. And then it interchangeably uses light, the Word, and truth. So that kind of gives us a hint about what all of this is about, okay? So how do we fellowship with God? If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Now, several statements here. Serious believers want to be in fellowship with God. It's like a lot of people see this as some kind of option. Well, if I don't want to walk with God, I don't have to. It's like, folks, that's like saying I don't want to walk through the basement, how am I saying this? I don't want to walk through the basement with a light. I don't have to. And it's like, how ridiculous is that statement? If you do not walk in the light, you are walking in what? Darkness. And you are not fellowshipping with God, no matter what you think you are doing. A lot of people think they're walking with God, and they are not walking with God. Why? Because they ignore the Word of God. So they are bouncing along through life, stumbling, because they don't know where they're going. That's Jesus' words. Okay? And 1 John brings it out again, too. Serious believers want to be in fellowship with God and to be known by their obedience. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Right? John 8:32. Let me ask you this. And you know, it's a kind of a rhetorical question, but how many love to be in bondage, in prison? You know, and you're like, Kevin, of course not. In fact, I think you've kept me here too long today. You know, that kind of thing. And it's like, no, listen, that's your other option. The truth sets you free. If you don't know the truth, you're in what? Bondage. You're imprisoned. There's no freedom from ignoring God, right? Help me out here. There's no freedom. You're either enslaved to Satan or you're enslaved to God. You're either living for your flesh or you're living for righteousness. God says it clearly. There's only two ways to go. You're walking in the light or you're walking in darkness. You know where you're going, you can see where you're going, you can avoid the problems, or you're lost. You're walking, stumbling, hitting things that you don't need to, finding ditches that you didn't even know existed because you can't see them. Okay? And understand this too, and it ties into what we've said already today. Jesus said the truth will set you free, not what you think is the truth. The people that followed Jim Jones thought it was the truth, but it wasn't true. The people that followed, did you see Charles Manson's picture recently? Some of you have no idea who Charles Manson is. Terrible man. Claimed to be Jesus Christ. Did the works of Satan, really. But people followed him and murdered people with him, alongside him, and thought they were doing right. Okay, it isn't what you think is true, it's what God says is true. And therefore, we cannot rest upon our own understanding. Does that sound familiar? But in all our ways, we're to acknowledge Him, we're to meditate in the Word day and night, because we ourselves cannot come to God's conclusions by our own sinful thinking. We can justify anything. You know, Hitler burned over 6 million Jews, thinking he was truthful in his own mind, thinking he was right. Okay, rightness. And by the way, whole nations followed him in doing so. Okay, that whole idea. So the truth sets you free, not what you think is true. And the only way you can know the truth is not by your self-assessment. Oh, that sounds good. No, it's the Word of God alone that has to be the measure. The next point down, talking fellowship, but walking in ignorance and unholiness is to be living a lie. Okay, if you're talking spirituality, but you're walking apart from the Word of God, guiding you every step of the way, you're living a lie. Understand that. It doesn't matter what you say. And by the way, we talked, it's been 6 weeks ago now, 2 Timothy 3 on Wednesday night. But having a form of godliness, but denying its power. The Bible says people will be religious, but they will reject the very God that they claim to serve. They'll love pleasure more than God. They'll reject God at every level and yet have a form of godliness. They'll continually study, ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That sounds like our land today. Conservative Christianity does nothing but study the Bible, but they never come to conclusions about what it means. Talking means nothing. Outward visibility means nothing. Our words are validated or proven false by our ongoing walk. It says here, if we say that we have fellowship with Him, we are having fellowship with Him and are walking in darkness. It's an ongoing idea. It's our habits of life. They reveal where we're really at. Okay? It's proven false. We lie and don't practice the truth. Walking in the light results in doing the truth. Do you catch the correlation there? Walking in the light results in doing the truth. It isn't thinking you're right. That doesn't validate anything. It's, are you doing what God says to do? That's how you measure your spirituality. That's how you measure your spiritual maturity. I'll quote one verse in 1 John 2. It says, he that says he knows Him must also walk just as He walked. Okay? If you will, he who says he has come to know Jesus, as in a spiritual maturity way, is obligated to walk just like Jesus. That's the measure, not whether you can pray long prayers, whether you give, you know, checks or your time or whatever, because, again, the Pharisees did such things. All right? It's ultimately Are you keeping what God says? And ultimately, 1 John identifies as the commandments of God. We know that we know Him if with the commandments of Him we are keeping. And it's not unclear information. Walking in the light results in doing the truth. The bottom one there in your notes, knowing the truth plus living the truth equals walking in the light. See that? Those go together. You can't walk in the truth if you don't know the truth. But just because you know the truth doesn't mean you're walking in the light either. You have to know the truth, and it's an ongoing knowing because we forget and also we learn in a process. But knowing the truth and living the truth by the truth is what the Bible means by walking in the light. That's what it is. If you're not practicing the truth, you're not walking in the light, period. It doesn't matter how much you know. Okay, turn the page over there. How do we walk with God who is light and in Him is no darkness at all? Number two, by walking by what God's light reveals. By walking by what God's light reveals. In other words, you're walking by means of the light that God gives you in His Word. You're allowing that to determine what is right and how to walk rightly. Let's just go again, more information, verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Primarily us and God is what it's talking about there, not between us, but that is true also. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Wow. You mean walking in the light has something to do with cleansing us from sin? Uh-huh. That's exactly what it says, okay? Look at the first bullet there. Light tells us what is true. We've already stated that. Light tells us what is true, and I call that informational. Okay? Light tells us what is true. Informational. Light tells us what is pure. Again, repeating things we've already said this morning. Light tells us what is pure. That is moral. Okay, so light is informational and it's also moral. Both of those go together. What is the requirement to walk in the light then? It's ongoing walking in or by means of the light, showing us what is true and pure. So how do you walk in the light or by means of the light? It can be translated that way. How do you walk that way? Well, if you're following a flashlight, you let it show you where to step and then you step there. You let the Word of God tell you what is right, and you let the Word of God guide you into living what is right. Okay? That is what it means to be walking in the light. It's walking responsively to what the light says. And again, you have to be in the Word. You cannot walk in the light without the light. It seems ridiculous to even say that, and I'm sure it sounds ridiculous to hear it. But it's like, you know, it's like walking in the dark and then saying, why aren't, you know, of course I have to have my flashlight on for it to do any good. Well, exactly. You have to be in the Word of God continuously. The Bible says we're to meditate in it day and night. Okay? That's what we're supposed to do. That is how we get the knowledge. And then what we do is order our steps by means of what we have come to understand is true and right, good and holy. There's a couple benefits listed in this passage. Benefit number one, it says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. We have fellowship with one another. And it's present tense. We are having fellowship. Okay, that's why I put ongoing. Ongoing fellowship with God, ultimately. And that also brings us in the right fellowship with people. But ongoing fellowship with God. If we're walking in the light, we have a fellowship with God. Why? Because in Him is no darkness at all. Understand that He cannot relate to people that are walking in sin. And we're talking about behavior here, not birth. Salvation is by faith alone in Jesus Christ, and we'll kind of end with that. Benefit number two that we get is ongoing cleansing from all sin. Ongoing cleansing from all sin. word cleanse shows up here and in verse 9. We'll talk about that shortly. Anyone here not want to be cleansed from sin? The Bible says the only way for that to happen, and by the way, it's being cleansed, okay, is by walking continuously in or by means of God's life. Now, what is sin? I said, I thought my sins were forgiven. At salvation, yes. We're talking birth here, right? When we talk about Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, right? We're not talking about birth here. We're talking about fellowship with God. If we're not walking with God, there's sin that piles up. That doesn't keep us out of heaven, but it keeps us out of fellowship with God. You ever been out of fellowship with a person before because of sin? You know what it's like? Well, it's even greater with God because in Him is no darkness at all. He can't say, well, that's okay, Kevin. You just live the way you want. Call me anytime. He doesn't do that. Okay? I'm still His child, but He's not going to relate to me as though everything's fine if it's not. Okay? Now, I have it down here, sin. It says cleanses us from all sin. Notice we haven't done anything. Other than we're walking in the light, but we haven't said anything here. It's walking responsively to what God shows us to be right, if you will, accurate and holy. Okay, what is true and what is pure. All right? And notice it doesn't say He cleanses us from all sins. Do you see that there? What does it say? Sin. It's singular. There's no article. It doesn't say the sin. It just is sin. Now, what does that mean? Anyone here still have a sin nature? If you're not sure, ask the person next to you. Yes, we have a sin nature. That's what this is talking about. You can stretch out this word and call it sinfulness, our sinful tendencies. You know what? God has a way to overcome our sinful nature. How is it? By walking in the light. If we are in the Word and we're responding to the Word, it cleanses us. And by the way, we get the word catharsis, cauterize, from all sin. As we're walking in the light, it renders our sinful nature cleansed. It wipes it away for that as we're walking, only as we're walking. It's an ongoing reliance upon God showing us what is true and what is pure. And as we respond to that and step that way, it bypasses the sinful nature, if you will, because the sinful nature follows what? Lusts of the flesh. It takes us into sin rather than out of sin. Okay? So God shows us the light. It says, avoid this. Don't do this. Follow this. Do this. And it's like the sinful nature is, if you will, rendered of no effect while we do that. It isn't gone away. It continually cleanses us from this all sin, the Bible says. It says all sin. Not sins, sin. It's a sinfulness. Okay? Now notice, it goes on to say, walking in the light involves acknowledging our ongoing sinfulness. Now look at verse 8 here. It's in your notes. It's the Bible tells us what's right about ourselves too. Isn't that good? Isn't that good even though we don't like to hear it? It's good to know, and whether it's just that we're missing a belt loop, that isn't what the Bible shows us, but I'm giving the illustration. You like to know, right? If we say that we have no sin, and if you would put sinfulness, sinful tendency, sinful nature, we deceive ourselves. Look at, there's a constant tension between truth and ourselves. We lie and do not practice it. We deceive ourselves. We say, I'm not tempted. I don't have an inkling towards sin, you know, in that way, whether it's in one place or another. The Bible says the truth is not in us. Now, notice instead of using the word light, it uses the word truth. If we say, not that we aren't sinning, it says if we say that we have no sinfulness, if we have no sinful tendencies, we're missing the point. Folks, it's like walking a high wire, okay? If you don't think you can fall, you'll walk differently than if you think you can. You get the idea? I'm not even going to try and walk along the edge of the pew because I'll kill myself because I don't have that good of coordination. But the idea is you have to understand that you can sin and you want to sin in order to overcome it. God compensates with that by the Word of God, by His light. But if you say, "Ah, I'm good. I can't sin. I'm mature. Whatever the case might be," you are self-deceived, the Bible says. You're saying, "I can't sin. Oh, it doesn't bother me. Oh, I can't be tempted in that area." The Bible says, "He that thinks he stands, take heed lest he what? Falls." We have to understand that we have an ever-present tendency to sin, and it's called the sin nature. It's called the flesh. Or am I alone here? Am I the only one with that? You ever want to get mad? And you know what's wrong to get mad? You ever lust? Do you ever want to pound somebody? Verbally, you know, we don't hurt people around here. It's like, yeah, we have that sinful tendency. We have this pull. And we have to understand that the Bible says you have that pull. You have that desire to walk away from God. It's only when you understand that you can, the Bible allows you to see you clearly. When you see that, yes, I have that tendency, then God is able to, then you walk in the light. You say, "Well, I can run into posts and walls if I don't have light." Absolutely. That's what will happen to you. That's what will happen to me if we're not following the Word of God. Anyone ever driven a car, those of us that are drivers, that pulls one way or the other? You compensate until you get to fix somehow, you know? That's it. That's the idea. Okay? Only in a bigger way. God's light helps make that sinful nature inert, if you will, while you're walking in the light. It doesn't mean you're not tempted or whatever, but you can see and avoid stuff instead of falling in the ditch because you didn't see it, right? It takes care of the sin temptation because it keeps you out of places you shouldn't be. It keeps you focused on the things that you should be focused on by following that light. Lying to others, there's several things that it brings out here as far as falsehood. Lying to others, verse 1:6, false words indicating a failure to recognize the facts. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And light is truth. And if light says, "Kevin, you're bent towards sin," that's good to know. Because then I have to rely upon the Word of God, not my heart, to lead me where I go. Ongoing rejection of the truth is another part of that. Just, it piles up. So how do we walk in the light? By measuring our walk, not our wishful words. By walking by what God's light reveals. And number three here, by saying the same thing about sins as God does. Most people are familiar with 1 John 1:9. It says, if we confess our sins, literally, it's the sins of us. Notice it's plural and it has an article. The sins. Now, it's talking about specific actions now, not the nature, the characteristic. If we are confessing our sins literally, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And here it goes, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Here's that cleansing again. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. So quickly here, walking in the light involves, just like we said about the previous point, ongoing responsiveness to God's light to inform and transform. And verse 7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, addresses our sinfulness. That's the word that you need to put in there, our sinfulness. And you can put sin nature off to the side, our sin bent, if you will. Now the requirement in verse 9 is what? What do we need to do to get the benefits? If we what? Confess our sins. So the requirement here is ongoing confession. By the way, it's present tense. It's an ongoing confessing of sins. Like God understands that things will be revealed to you that you will come to understand as being sinful. And then you must what? Confess them. Confess is to say the same thing about. It isn't to verbalize. It's to acknowledge that what God says is true. Lord, that was sin. That is wrong. And it's to take the response and say, I will honor you and avoid that. as you give me power and strength to do so. Okay? It's not saying, it's okay, and then while you're still doing it. You know, forgive me while I'm looking at pornography. That isn't what God's talking about here. Forgive me, the computer's off, and if necessary, destroyed. Okay, that's what God says about that, you know, idea. Ongoing confessing, calling sin what God calls it, of what God's light reveals. So verse 9 addresses our sinful actions. Where verse 7 addresses our sinful nature, our sinful bent. It cleanses us from all sin. Here it cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Here's the benefits. Benefit number 1, forgiveness of the confessed sins. Forgiveness of the confessed sins. Lord, I've sinned. This is wrong. According to your word, according to your light, this is wrong. This is against who you are and what you've said. Okay? That's confessing sin. What's the second benefit, though? How many here think that there's sin in your life that you don't even know about? Or do you know everything? That's the other option. See, I believe there is. There's things that I'm aware of. That's what I confess. But there's also sins, other unrighteousness, that I don't even know about. What does God say He does? If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of those sins, the specific acts that we violate His nature, His light, if you will, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, the things that we don't even know about. Not a bad package, is it? Because why? God cleanses us from those things. He forgives and He cleanses us. He forgives us our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. What is walking in the light? Walking in the light ultimately is not living a, listen closely, it is not living a sinless life. Hello? You're not sinless. And again, if you're not sure about that, ask the person next to you, okay? It's living in a right response to your sin based upon what God reveals about it. That's what walking in the light is. You're to walk in the light, and God shows you where to go and what to do. So you avoid sin by doing what God wants, but also when you do sin, you say so. You acknowledge that. It isn't sinless living, though that's God's ultimate desire, but it's a right acknowledgement of sin. Let's keep going here. We're going a little over, but we're doing communion here anyway, so I'll make sure and give you a break. We're not cutting into Sunday school time, because as sorry as it is, I am your Sunday school today. Okay, a little bit more here. What is not confessing do? Notice here, if we say that we have not sinned, this is verse 10. Notice it doesn't say if we say we have no sin, as in verse 8. Verse 10 says if we say we have not sinned, it's talking about actions, not our propensity to sin, our bent towards sin. It's actually talking about the sin. And it says, okay, Kevin, if you say harsh words. Okay, I'm just hypothetically, unless you're in my family, then you know that could be a very likely possibility. If you say harsh words, but you say that is not wrong, as God says it is, you've not only lied to others, you're not only deceiving yourself, now what are you doing? God says it's wrong. I say it's not wrong. You have two choices. Either you're telling the truth or God is. If you're telling the truth, God is a what? He's a liar. See, it isn't we should confess our sins if we want to. No, it's absolutely essential. If we say we have not sinned when we have, and God's word as we're walking like reveals it, we make Him a liar. We say, God, You are a liar because You don't know what You're talking about. I do. And by the way, what does that make you become, really? God, maybe, huh? Because you know more than God and you are more moral than God so that you can start making your own rules. And folks, isn't that the curse of our day is people make their own rules now? It's called postmodernism. There's no absolute, and what's good for you is maybe good for you, but not for me. Right? And it's like, no. God defines truth. God defines what is pure. And we must acknowledge, to walk in light, we must acknowledge what God says is true, what God says is pure, and we must confess it when we cross that line or when the Bible reveals that, you know what, I never knew that was wrong, and now I understand it. God, that's wrong, and I confess it as sin. I move forward moving around that as you give me the ability and the light to do so. It makes God a liar, and notice this, and it says, and His Word is not in us. It's a bold rejection of God's Word. And by the way, light comes from the Word, not from our feelings, not from what we think is right. Again, what is the measure of truth? What is the measure of purity? It's the Word of God. And it can only be that because we can justify anything in our thinking. Well, they were mean to me, so I gave them a piece of my mind. Right? I lashed out. It's like, that's funny. Jesus didn't lash out when Pilate was piling on him. Don't you know who I am? It's like, you wouldn't be here if God didn't put you here. Ooh. And it says, hey, He's our example for how to yield to people that are harsh to us. When He was reviled, He didn't revile again. Ding. Okay? Not confessing makes God a liar and rejects God's Word just in its entirety. Now, just finishing up here. I know we're a little long, and I apologize for that. Is this a free ticket to sin and do whatever you want? Now let's spell it out. N-O. Let's help me out here. N-O. No, it's not. It's not a free ticket. My little children, verses 1 and 2 of 1 John 2, these things I write to you that you may not sin. Understand this. It's not giving you a free ticket to sin. The goal is not that you sin at all. The way it's stated is that you might not sin even once. It isn't saying that you might not be sinning, that you might not even sin at all. But the idea is if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father. And who it is again? His blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Well, I guess I got it down here. Jesus Christ, the righteous one, and He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. We are not to sin even once. But notice, but if we do, we have an advocate with the Father. Now, chew on this just a minute. What's the point of an advocate? Someone that goes to bat for you. Unless God is so holy that if Jesus wasn't there, we would be cursed. Help me out here. Do you understand that sin is so sinful to God that unless Jesus was there as our advocate, That doesn't mean our salvation is up in the air. Because Jesus is there as our advocate, we have entrance to God. Jesus is our advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We have an advocate. Jesus Christ is the satisfactory payment. Verse 7 says, His blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Verse 9 says, it allows God to faithfully and justly forgive and cleanse us from sins. Verse 1 says He continues to be our advocate when we do commit sins and confess them. And then verse 2 says, and He Himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world. His death was the propitiation, the satisfactory payment for the entire world. But understand, sin was so bad. Just give me another couple minutes if you would. Sin is so bad that the only way to solve it is Jesus had to die. So don't ever take sin lightly. God, it's never right to sin. And you know what? You're only hurting yourself and you're hurting others, and you ultimately call God a liar and deceive yourself if you're walking in sin and not in the light of God's truth. Three questions. Do you immerse yourself in the Word of God for God's truth and holiness, including the truth about yourself? If you're not in the Word of God daily, work at it. Make that a priority. Put other things down in a way until you establish that habit. And it's hard. Sometimes it's difficult to get in that routine, but folks, there's nothing more worth it in all of life to give you a right focus and help you to walk in God's light. Second question, do you seek to continuously seek to live by what God reveals through His Word is true and pure? If you are not walking in God's light, you are living in darkness and you don't know where you're going. And you're going to just hit problems. There is nothing more intelligent than walking with a light. You don't drive your cars with the headlights out, unless you're in the military. You don't walk through the basement without some kind of light, and you certainly don't walk through life in the dark. All are equally ridiculous. And do you promptly confess your sins, calling them what God calls them as He reveals those to you? That's walking in the light. Walking in the light is not sinlessness. It's acknowledging sin as it is. Are you walking in the light? Your life depends on it. Everyone around you's life depends on it in the sense of fellowship with God and impact for God. Otherwise, you're just leading other people in the dark. And what will that get you and anybody else but just into more trouble? I challenge you to walk, be walking in the light. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your grace and truth. And I pray, Lord, that You would help us to walk in Your Word, by Your Word, not leaning on our own understanding, but, Lord, letting You tell us what is true, what is right, and how to live rightly because of it. Lord, we cannot live rightly apart from knowing Your Word and then obeying Your Word. We pray that You would help us in that. And, Lord, help us in a day when so many are abandoning that idea. Having the form of godliness, but denying its life-changing power that's revealed in 1 John here. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.